Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I'm here with Daniel Jacob, who is a dating coach for dudes. So I know we are going to have an exciting conversation. How are you, Daniel?
Doing really good, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Tell people a bit about, you know, just a quick tip about what you do and who you help.
Yeah. So I, about 3 years ago, started a business that initially was focused on helping men build self-confidence and build self-esteem. But I wanted to focus a little bit more on the dating and relationship side, because that's where I saw a lot of guys felt really stuck. And that's where their self-esteem kind of was the most inhibited. So yeah, for the past couple of years, I've been doing that, have worked with a lot of guys, mainly in the US, you know, also in Australia, UK, Europe, and really took like a mentally and emotionally healthy approach, you know, on the men's side to helping them, you know, land an amazing girlfriend.
Well, I know the women of the world are thankful you are doing that. And there's some really, dating has just become so yucky and scammy. And it's really helpful to have healthy conversations and say, no, there are really people out there looking to help you get really authentic, lifelong connections, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that there are a lot of people out there who don't take dating, you know, very seriously, or they're not very mature about it. But I'm sure that there are tons of people out there, you know, as long as you could find them, who want to have an amazing love life, who really do value things like authenticity and empathy and, you know, genuine emotional connection.
So you dropped a little tidbit in there about as long as you can find them. So that's always one of the questions I get asked. So I would love to know the answer from a male perspective of where do you find a good guy?
That's a great question. Honestly, I would say that the way that you find a great guy is the same way that I would advise a guy to find a great gal, is that instead of kind of shooting in the dark, where most people just, especially now during COVID, download apps like Tinder and Bumble and just swipe away and hope to, you know, meet that special someone, I really like to start with my clients by helping them gain clarity on both, you know, appearance-wise, really what they're looking for in a partner, but also more importantly, the values of their partner, their personality, what their partner or ideal partner likes to do for fun, what they do for work, and really honing in on that person's kind of demographic, almost as if like, you know, you're kind of building a business, is that you want to figure out who your ideal customer is. Same thing here. And then figure out based on that, where would this kind of person spend their time? So, you know, a girl who really values self-development maybe could go to different networking events, you know, or like maybe different marketing summits or conferences, or maybe things like yoga, or, you know, different, I guess, like places and outings that would have that type of person there. Rather than just generically jumping on the apps or going to a bar and just shooting in the dark.
So when you, I agree, and I was already married by the time I went to like the National Success Summit, but I was thinking, man, if I was, you know, still on the market, this is exactly where I would have, you know, be looking and finding, because they were all, I wasn't there in this needy energy of desperate trying to pick up people. Obviously, I was already happily married, but they were all looking at my hand. They were all looking to see if I was taken, right? Because I came across as I'm excited. I'm not, there's no needy energy. I'm here to learn. And that was very attractive, it felt like, in that circumstance. But where, so we know, you know, marketing events, yoga classes for that type of female, where have you found your guys usually frequent? Where do they hang out?
Where do they hang out? So honestly, gym, I think is a great spot, because I think people who go to the gym are really looking to better themselves, looking to grow the value of their health, their wellness. So gym is a great place. Maybe different, depending on, I think, where you live right now and what's open, but maybe different coffee shops like Starbucks, you know, places like Panera, places like, you know, just that have healthy food. I mean, it really depends on what the specific gal's preferences are and what she really wants. And then kind of figuring out where would someone who meets this kind of lifestyle spend a lot of their time at, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of do that. I think like even going out at night is great too, to different events, but just maybe not, you know, the typical bar, maybe something that's a little bit more classier or high end. Or, you know, I've actually met a lot of great women in my past, girls that I've dated at different like organized social events, right? Like you could go to church, you could go to synagogue if you're Jewish. So based on your religious affiliation, maybe like a classic pottery or a sports club, like volleyball, dance classes, like salsa, like there's so much out there. And every guy who's single is there, one, to learn, but probably even more importantly than that, to meet someone. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I've heard of biking clubs for guys, running clubs. Even if you know the running club, after the running club meets at a coffee shop for coffee, if you don't want to run, you could even go to the coffee shop after the running club. Well, okay, so that's great info. Now, one of the other complaints that I've heard from guys is that they're unsure of if a girl has a green light on her head or a red light. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that from your guys?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, let's talk about that.
that's really great you brought that up. I would actually, I'm all about men taking responsibility, right? Like, I don't believe that women, you know, I mean, now everyone has different beliefs. I think some girls are open to approaching a guy or being the ones who initiate that dating process. But I really believe that guys should be the ones kind of, you know, from their role is to step up and to be the ones to, you know, say hi and introduce themselves to the girl and then go from there. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of guys from working with tons of men is their biggest issue is that they're totally in their head, is that they're completely out of touch with their emotions. They're so focused on how they're coming across and how they look and how their body language looks, how their clothes look, all this little stuff, that they're not in touch with their emotions. They're not in their body. And because of that, they're not noticing those little subtle cues that women give them. Like they can't notice when a girl looks at them or when she's playing with her hair or turns her hips a certain way. And I think that if guys were a bit more emotionally aware, I'm all for that, is that it would have they would have an easier time doing this. But I do believe that maybe from the female side, there's certain little subtle indicators and signs that, you know, that women could give off to men that would kind of let them know that they're available as well.
Yeah. And I'm really big on a very strong green light, but then also feeling comfortable in shutting the door if it feels like it turns into a red light. That's kind of my philosophy, because I feel in some ways, especially if you have a guy who's really used to picking up women, they're really confident about their ability to quote unquote land you or, you know, get you on a date. Sometimes those don't end up being like the best guys long term. Mm-hmm. But someone who maybe is in their head and they are a little more insecure, and I hate to say insecure in this one area of their life, or they're not as bold is a better way to say it. If they're not as bold, that they could be it's not always true, but so often maybe they would be a better long-term partner, but the barrier is that very first initial meeting. Is that what you've seen?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so funny you brought that up, is because I've had a wide range of clients. A lot of guys come to me because they're that guy, right? Like they're a really nice guy. They're very successful in their career. They're just very shy, mm-hmm. and they have a hard time saying hi to new people, especially girls that they find attractive. But I had had a couple guys who are just those kind of just pickup artists, right? Is that they just go out and they spam approach every single girl that they see. And I actually have to break down that habit and let them know that, look, it's not about, you know, that shotgun approach of just talking to every single girl. There's no fulfillment in that, is that you have to actually one approach the girls that you really want to talk to, and start being a little bit more genuine with them. So,
and I think that's important for women to see though, because the thought is, oh, I want someone who's going to do all the work, right? So they're going to do the work of coming to me. They're going to do the work of, I can just like not have to worry about rejection at all. Like, you know, I can just shut down, then they're going to come to me and do all that work. Typically, those guys are good at picking up girls. And is that really what you're looking for in a relationship, is someone who is good at picking up girls? That is not what I'm looking for, right? I mean, you know, most of the women I would say is, it's not really a skill set I hope they've honed in. And so to develop some really strong green lights to say, okay, let's talk, let's do this. I'm open to a conversation. I'm open to a hello. Some green lights, I would suggest. And I really appreciate that you're telling your guys to make the first move. I'm telling my girls to not always make the guy make the first move, because I have seen that with just really great guys. And it's like, man, if the only barrier is that very initial conversation and them not being able to read your green light or subtleties, maybe not as subtle. Oh, I like the color of your shirt. Oh, your shoe's untied. Oh, that burger looks good. I mean, something as simple as that or ridiculous as that tells those guys, hey, this could be a green light, and gives them permission to move forward.
You know, what's interesting is that there's actually been a study on this, and 1 in 37 men are actually able to pick up on those little signs, and the other 36 just aren't. They're completely in their head. They can't. And there's been actually, I think there's research done on this where a guy went to a bar and really observed all these little nuances. And that's what he concluded. So from just based off of that, yeah. I mean, if girls, especially with those really shy guys, could be a little bit more overt about their interest, like, as you said, you know, there's no harm in a girl coming up to me and saying like, hey, as you said, like, I like your shirt, or, you know, you seem familiar. Like, are you from around here? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Just casually starting that conversation. A lot of the time guys will be like, oh, wow. Okay. She's actually talking to me.
Which breaks down so many barriers. And I think there's such pressure of like, oh gosh, what if, you know, they don't like me or something. And it's like, all we're talking about is starting a conversation. That's all it is. And think of all the conversations you've had in your life. None of them have filled you up to this point. So when you think about, hey, I'm just starting a conversation to see if we have anything in common, I think it takes some of the pressure off of, I'm trying to like find the one love of my life. And if I don't find him tonight, I'm destined to, you know, stay at home and watch Netflix forever. Right. Do you feel like,
yeah.
Do your guys put that much pressure on themselves? Cause the girls do for sure.
Oh, you're saying, okay. So you're saying like when girls go out, a lot of them put a ton of pressure on actually meeting someone that same night and feel bad when they don't, or meet the wrong people.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that guys, I've worked with guys who have different agendas, right? Some guys who came to me, you know, just want to have a lot of casual experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's the pressure that they put on themselves. And when they don't get that casual experience, they tend to beat themselves up. But there's a lot of guys that, most of the guys that actually come to me are looking for something more long-term and serious. And yet again, you know, same story. I think it's an innate part of, you know, being a human being, is having those expectations that you set on yourself. And if anything, I think those expectations don't help at all, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you put all of this pressure on yourself to perform and to get this outcome that's totally out of your control. And when you do that, you tend to give off like that needy, clingy energy that you really want something from someone else. And I think both on the male and on the female side, it's not very attractive.
Gosh,
you know, neediness is the number one killer of attraction, as you know.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I say neediness is not sexy. Also, you know, within helping my clients develop dating brands, for those interested in dating, you know, she who needs to be healed is not sexy. You know, you meet someone and you start talking about all the bad crap about your exes. Whoa, no wonder it's not going well. Have you seen that at all?
Yeah. So this is actually, I'm so glad we're talking about this. There's a huge kind of block that guys have, is that a lot of guys feel a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of just worry when they're out, you know, looking to meet someone, you know, whether that's at a cafe or a grocery store or like at a bar or just anywhere, even on a first date. Mm-hmm. What is that fine line, would you say, between, because I have my own belief on this, between being vulnerable and sharing those uncomfortable emotions that they feel, especially early on, versus, you know, dumping their baggage on somebody else. So yeah, well, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about
this. So if I was on a date now, you know, and I was doing that, I would let my vulnerabilities be shown in a very cutesy way. Like, well, you know, I wouldn't be so nervous if you weren't so cute. You know, I would make it very flirty and still confident, and show vulnerabilities in showing confidence. And it really brand myself. Like, I am so confident that I can tell you I'm excited to be here. I'm so confident that I can tell you I'm attracted to you. Not in a, I hope you like me way.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the difference between, I speak a lot about this, about attractive vulnerability versus like a needy vulnerability. Because mm-hmm. on one hand is that you don't want to hide who you are, you know, because mm-hmm. the main thing that I teach is being authentic. So mm-hmm. if you are feeling kind of a gamut of uncomfortable feelings, you should share them. Mm-hmm. But you should share them with the intention of just sharing and not needing the approval of the other person about how you feel. Like you're not looking for to console you and to make you okay with your feelings. You share them.
Yeah,
that's definitely not sexy, but sharing them just because like, hey, look, like I tell guys all the time, like if you feel super, super nervous and you approach a girl, you could definitely say like, you make me really nervous. Like, look at you. Like, you're just, I'm really, really, you know, you're really attractive. Like, I'm super nervous right now. And if you own that, and if you're not apologizing for it, and you're not looking for acceptance or approval for feeling nervous, that's attractive.
It was very attractive. And you saw my body response when you did that, right? Yeah. I was like glowing. I was like, oh yeah, that'd be really cute if a guy said that, you know, it doesn't come across. As what you did not say is, I can't believe a girl as hot as you would go out with a guy like me.
No, definitely not.
Right. That is not what you said. I also try to talk my women, if they're talking about vulnerabilities of the past, especially if they've already been divorced or something like that, to frame it. This happened, but I'm using it to launch a growth experience rather than to come in as damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you would advise from a guy's perspective?
So you're saying for a guy that's been through a lot of, let's even say trauma in the past in relationships, how does he show up in the present moment without carrying all that with him? So,
or a healthy guy, how would he want a girl to show up?
Or a healthy guy, how would he want a girl to show up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody who is not looking to be fixed. I think looking to be fixed is not attractive. And that's not the role of, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend is to be someone's therapist. I think that you do have to take responsibility for your own pain and for your own wounds. And it's your job to heal them on your own. And it's a big thing that I say is that it's okay. Nobody's perfect, right? Everyone's got flaws and insecurities. And it's okay if you even start dating with some stuff in the past that you're still working on, as long as you're able to, in the moment when you're interacting with someone, let's say from the female's perspective, be present. Mm-hmm. You know, I think presence is super attractive. So not projecting the past onto the future, or even if you feel like you are, being aware enough to notice some of these patterns.
So even within the art of the conversation, I watched another video. I feel like I am very, very strong in the art of conversation. And I had watched a video on it because the things we're good at, we want to get even better at, right? And they talked about, you know, leaning in, being excited, and that you use the word presence.
Presence,
and
yep.
Hear us say, there's nothing sexy about going in as if you need to be fixed. There's nothing sexy as in going in as if you need to be approved of. There's nothing sexy about going in your head the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. For me personally, like one of the most unattractive things is like when I'm on a date with a girl, and this is kind of taking the conversation more towards recently what we spoke about, and seeing her just look around, be on her phone, be on Instagram, just not be present. And yeah, it just kind of makes the other person feel not valued, and you know, like they don't really care. They don't really enjoy their time. And I think really what men want is a woman who likes them for them. And that's conveyed through presence, you know, from them being present with them and being in the moment with them. And it's not always easy, but just, you know, doing your best. I think on both the male side and the female side, if both parties really try to be as present as possible, that would solve a lot of the issues that people have in dating.
I love that. So if there was a girl, from what you know about guys and guys in dating, if there was a girl and she's like, oh, I don't know if he's telling me the truth. I don't know if he's just trying to scam me. I don't know if he's just trying to get me in bed, or, mm-hmm. you know, or he's looking for something longer term. What are some signals that girls can listen for to connect with an emotionally available, you know, not guaranteed long term, obviously, but, you know, kind of early on, some signs that would be helpful for her to see the difference?
Yeah, I think, wow, you want all the secrets. So I think that a guy who is, a lot of his communication is around sharing. And there's, I don't think it's like, there's no logical one thing that I could tell you, but there's a huge difference between a guy.
What you just said, there's not just one thing.
Well, yeah, there's not just one. Yeah, there's not just one thing. Exactly. Yeah, there's a huge difference between a guy who wants to bring a girl home that same night and never see her again versus a guy who genuinely wants to get to know her and pretend, not guaranteed, as you said, potentially see something through there. And it's in the way that he communicates. When someone genuinely wants to connect with you, and I think that's the biggest one, is a genuine desire to connect, to get to know, the questions that he asks, asking her about, hey, like, how did you feel about that? You know, what was your childhood like? Maybe not even that deep early on, but things like, you know, what are some of your passions? You know, what are you interested in doing? What do you like doing on the weekends? And like actively trying to get to know her, and he's listening as well, actively is present. That's a great sign. Also him sharing about himself. So versus someone who is, you could just tell early on, is just very gamey, very pickup-y, and not being super authentic. Like, I think women are naturally very good at picking up on a lack of authenticity in someone's character. And when someone's just not being authentic, not being real, that's a really great sign that, or surefire sign that they're not looking for anything serious, or that they're not looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nope. That's really all I was going
to
say.
Well, and what advice would you give to that woman who says, you know, he's probably not interested in a relationship yet, but with my love, and if I just, you know, do the right things and I hang around him long enough and I show him how much I really care, then I can flip him. I can change him.
I would say that never works.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like hoping to change someone is, I think, you know, I know your podcast is called, you know, toxic proof person, right? So that's toxic, right? Is on for you and for the other person, is trying to change someone and be and make them into something they're not. And I think that comes down really to a lack of self-esteem for females. It just comes down to like a lack of self-worth, that they subconsciously don't believe that they're deserving of something better, because if they did, they would just not put up with that kind of stuff. You know, they would have stronger boundaries earlier on, and they wouldn't buy into, you know, false promises.
And we talked about sometimes, you know, only one out of 37 guys can pick up on green lights. When there is a woman who really stands in her worth and is confident in who she is and who she is, who she wants, or what she's looking for in life, just your guesstimate from dating coaching, how many of 37 guys could pick up on that?
I would say, like, are you saying like when a woman is giving off all those signals?
Yeah. Has a sense of worth, strong sense of worth, confidence.
I would even say, to be honest, a lot of guys would maybe be able to pick up on that, but because a lot of men have low self-esteem themselves, they just won't feel worthy of going up to her. Like, the biggest problem that I have with guys is that they just have too many insecurities and limiting beliefs. And they see a girl who's pretty, who's confident, who's got good posture, who just radiates, you know, self-assuredness. A lot of guys are going to be like, shit, like, she's out of my league. There's no way I could go talk to her. Uh-huh. And that's a self-worth problem on the guy side, which I really specialize in fixing, so that guys can feel deserving, you know, to attract the kind of girls that they want. But really, I would also say, from a female's perspective, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't think women should be less confident just to make guys feel more comfortable. I think that a confident woman naturally is going to screen out all the men that are wrong for her and be able to attract the right guys for her, because there are guys that are able to handle her and that are able to kind of hold their ground with her. And those are the guys that she really wants. And those are the guys, like, that's what I want to build my clients, and a lot of my clients have gotten there, to become that kind of guy. So that's not a problem on her end, being confident. I'm all for it. I think that that's a kind of a call to action for guys to really step the hell up and become better.
Absolutely. And then they're going to, you know, even within my relationship with my husband now, there's still a little bit of us, we've been together for 5 years, but there's still a bit of sense of trying to earn each other's love, not in an unhealthy, toxic way, but hey, let me rub your back. You know, he came over and when he saw me this morning, came and hugged me and gave me a kiss, you know, little things like that, but it's I pay attention to you. I'm present. I see you. I'm happy you're here. You know, those types of things. And so in the healthy relationship, there is, I think, some healthy sense of, hey, I want to make sure you still like me. Not in a toxic, change everything about myself way, but I want to remember to be nice to you way. I want to remember to be present with you. And yeah. When, you know, that guy, if she is very confident and this guy's like, ooh, you know, I need to step up my game to not earn her love, because that gets into toxic realm. But yeah, I need to step up my game to get her, catch her eye. That's mm-hmm. a good thing, I think.
Agreed. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. I think it's good. It's like a challenge, and a lot of men love challenge.
That's awesome. Daniel, this conversation was awesome. Tell people where they can find more about you.
So my website is everlastingconfidence.com, where you could, you know, watch my training, watch, you know, read a little bit more about me and what I do, you know, with the work that I do. But I also recently launched a YouTube channel also called Everlasting Confidence, where I'm going to start kind of videos with different women and interview them on different topics around dating and relationships and confidence. So that I think is great for men, but also for women who want to check it out. So it's Everlasting Confidence. That's the name of the YouTube channel.
That sounds awesome. Well, do you have any last words of wisdom that you just think, I wish women knew this about men and dating?
Yeah, I would say that the advice that I would give women is just that as much of, you know, stuff and, you know, personal BS that you're going through, guys are going through just as much. And sometimes maybe give guys a little bit more of a chance, you know, that there's a lot of guys out there who, you know, want to have a great relationship, that want to, you know, be able to share their love with someone, but they're just a little bit in their head, you know, and that they've got a lot of stories, limiting stories. And a lot of that stuff will kind of dissipate and drop, you know, after a date or two, as long as a girl is open to, you know, giving them a little bit of a chance. So that's what I would say.
No, yeah. I love it. Daniel, thank you for coming here and helping us on our journey to becoming toxic person proof.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.